Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Further from sobriety. So sobriety.
And now it's time for Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local arts with your hosts, David Von Strong and Leslie M. Scott Jones. And now, here's David and Leslie.
Hello!
Oh,
he's singing this morning.
July
16th.
It was.
Put us all the way to Wednesday. Jeez.
This is actually a public service announcement for people with number dyslexia.
Oh.
So if you want to donate to that, it is Homegrown 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I am David Von Strong, aka the Devious One, and with me, as always, is the lovely, the loquacious, the lascivious Leslie M. Scott Jones.
What's up, David?
How you doing?
I'm good. I'm tired.
I am highly caffeinated.
I can tell that. No, I am so tired. I went to Moppintown Film Festival yesterday.
Moppintown.
So, and if you're interested to know about Moppintown, you can listen to the podcast from last week because we interviewed the lovely Lorenzo Dickerson. It was great. I saw a few films.
Is Lorenzo lascivious as well?
He is loquacious.
He is loquacious. I don't know about lascivious. I guess we'd have to ask his wife, whom I met yesterday. She's a lovely woman.
I'm sure she did roll up.
No, it was not like that.
David. His outfit.
David.
She was like,
was
I'm going
to
have to talk to her.
No.
You met the lovely, lascivious, loquacious Lady Lorenzo?
Lady Lorenzo.
we can go all day with this alliteration.
Right. There was, so the morning yesterday they had cartoons.
Yay!
So they brought their two
cartoons.
Boys who are adorable. Oh my God. The little one. He was like, he is so loving. Like, he attached himself to Lorenzo. Like,
yeah.
It was like, and every 5 seconds, he's like kissing him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he told him, he's like, take your glasses off. Take your glasses off. And he's like, what? And he takes his glasses off and he kisses him on his eyelids. I was like, okay, that's precious. And you do realize by the time he's 11, he will no longer want to do any of this.
Nah, Pops.
We ain't showing no love up in here.
Not in front of the school. Just drop me off two blocks.
Drop me off at the corner.
And let me walk.
Because I'm a man.
Come on, damn.
Whatever. No, but the films were really great. So I did a talk after the two films, Stay Woke and Two Fists Up. And
Stay Woke.
Oh my God! It that conversation got a little heated.
I'm sure.
Yes, we had one member of the audience who suggested, once again, like just was suggested for the July rally that for the August rally that we all stay at home and do nothing. and then, like, the next day come out in full force.
Just gonna hang out.
And I just let, okay, so,
there.
So Reverend Brenda,
mm-hmm.
She was listening and she goes, can I just say something? I was like, oh, here you go. Hit a mic. Go. Like, and everybody was just like, okay, we're just going
to
sit down now. Because
not to get that mic back for a while.
No, but she was very good. I mean, she basically said, she was like, you know what? This is about us. This is about mm-hmm. brown people. And you're not a brown person. So you don't get to tell us what our reaction should be.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you want to be an ally, if you want to support, then make that decision and support. But it's our decision about how to react to it.
Yeah, I don't think people in privilege should be able to define oppression, you know.
Right.
Straight people aren't allowed to define homophobia and,
you know,
God bless them. White people aren't allowed to define racism. I think it's about for the people to be oppressed. Like, you know, Washington Redskins fans can say, well, you shouldn't be offended by it. But
right.
It's like, but...
But I am. But I am.
You gotta respect that. I mean, feelings and opinions are valid.
Clinton, and that's what Brenda said.
Like, you want to say something.
You know, that's what Brenda said. She said, she was like, if you're hurting me and I tell you you're hurting me, it's not up for debate. Like, it's been stated. Like, that's it.
This stick is really light.
It shouldn't hurt.
I could hit you way harder.
Right?
I think you're being a little bit sensitive about this, Leslie. God.
Well, you know, there are times when I like that, but this is not one of those times.
At a rally with riot gear on is not
one not of necessarily
times.
What I was, you know, picturing
but
in
I'm
my mind
to add
for
some
that moment.
In my life, so I'm trying to get back into my stand-up comedy. I got
you
a show,
are.
I got a show in Baltimore tonight with Eric Berenger and John Barnes, where they go get my mom crew.
Oh, that's nice.
I'm hosting it. It's at Zissimo's. It's in Baltimore. So for all my
never
Baltimore fam, DMV in the house. show starts at 6:30.
How much Baltimore fam do you have?
I got him out the door. I got Maurice.
Uh-huh. And?
Gail.
And?
All right, that's about it.
Okay.
But I got...
All right.
But they going to tell people.
Okay.
And they going to tell people.
And they going to bring people.
Yeah.
So, all right,
so
I got
it's going to be a great show. It's
awesome.
It's going to be a great show. But enough about us. Enough about us.
There's never enough about us.
Well, there's... Yeah. I mean, we could just go on and on.
And on and on. No, but we should...
retail life. But let's move forward.
Yes.
To
our first
to
guest.
More important things like arts and enjoyment, shall we?
Yes.
We have the lovely Noel Bastian, who...
Do I talk now?
Yes. You can talk now.
Aw.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You're allowed to talk whenever. Noel actually just stepped off of his cologne commercial shoot.
Right?
Off of the beach.
Seriously?
Dude, you're an attractive man.
I was moving a house yesterday. I'm sunburnt and sore and tired.
Stop it. You're a
but yet
man. And you know you just did that
but,
hair. Like, you act like you didn't just do that hair. Come on, man.
Miranda saw me doing it in the car.
No,
that's
seriously, he does look like he just stepped off a like Calvin Klein billboard. Yeah. Seriously.
Like you and David Beckham like just got out the club.
Yeah.
You
know,
like, no, David and
cab?
I haven't spoken in
where's
years.
The cab?
No.
Where the cab, Dave? We gotta get home to see Posh Spice. And
right now we hope there are all these people like, where's the Facebook Live?
Right.
Where's the,
how do
I see like, I gotta so, see this
how
man.
I see the you can see these. And Miranda Hogan, which is also an attractive individual. Say hi, Miranda.
Hi, Miranda.
But this is not all about attractive people. And it's not about
there's,
the beauty.
There's a lot of attractive people in this room today,
like
I must say.
It's like the best time to tune in to Facebook Live because you got us and you got two beautiful people.
I know,
out.
Right?
They are in charge of putting up the wonderful show called The Addams Family. Which is the new musical headed to 4 County Players, premiering July 28th. And
I'll
going
be there.
Through August 3rd. Teenth, the Addams Family. Da 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 da. Oh my god. It's automatic. You can't do it.
You can't help it.
So talk to us, Noel. I mean, the Addams Family has more been kind of this kind of American iconic cult following. I personally but I'll get into that later. Just talk about the Addams Family in general. What made you want to put on this show particularly in the 4 County.
Yeah, area. Yeah. Well, part of it is because of that iconography. I remember growing up with the movies and loving the movies and that kind of, and you know, the characters that, and they're such iconic, especially with kind of like our generation. And then, so I really wanted to put on a show where you could play with that iconography.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, look at you with the SAT
I know,
words.
Right?
Wow.
Big words time. And, but I wanted to be able to take that iconography and kind of play with it. Cause I don't want people to walk into the show and be like, oh, look, that's everything I've seen in the movies. Or, you know, for even the older generation, that's everything I remember from the TV show.
Right.
So I wanted to take it. And when we want them to be able to come in and it all be recognizable, but we put our own spin on it.
Right.
And make it new and refreshing, but you're still getting that what you expect.
Talk about that. How do you make it more new and more refreshing?
I mean, there's things like, I mean, one of the things, and Miranda, I'm sure we'll talk about this too, one of the first things we talked about with the actors and with the whole production team and everything was, what's necessary? What do you have to have with the Addams Family? Do you have to have Pugsley's striped shirt? Do you have to have Gomez's pencil-thin mustache? Do you have
yes.
to have the dress on Morticia?
Yes.
Oh, well, let me ask you, what do you have to have?
You have to have the dress. You have to have the mustache.
What's the dress got to look like?
Oh, it's got to have that. It's got to literally be mermaid and then like plume out into the floor. Like it's got to be because especially in the TV show,
right.
It was like the dress was alive.
Right, right.
Like
right.
Even after she walked, like the next frame that the back of that dress was like strewn out. Like mm-hmm. Oh, okay, you stopped walking now. I can spread myself.
Yeah, there are even
again.
A couple like
and please let Thing be still a hand and not another
yes!
part, object of the human anatomy.
Because
let's just
Thing
keep
is
that.
Awesome. Thing
let's
is
keep
awesome.
Continuity.
Thing was always.
You will be happy.
Okay.
We actually.
I just want to bring my nephew.
No, seriously, like Thing and Cousin It were my favorite characters.
Yeah, we actually went way above and beyond and found spots in the script to add more Thing and more Lurch. We actually like added him in even more than the script called for.
As Tiff would say, Hercules. Awesome. Yeah. Okay, so this is a musical. Okay, The Addams Family as a musical.
Well, it's always had
music.
It's always had a musical kind of, like when you like again when you hear that theme song and then when you hear that kind of gothic minor undertone, like it has a certain musicality and a certain tone to itself. And, you know, and when you watch the series, it would lead in with the music and out. And there was always that, I don't know what the name of the composer was because I'm incredibly prepared for my interviews. But talk about that and the certain gothic music.
Yeah, what kind of songs? What that, kind of songs do the Addams Family sing?
To the identity of the Addams Family.
Because you know what? I'm remembering... I'm remembering an episode of the TV show where... Uncle Fester and Grandma had an audition for like a record producer and they created this special concoction to like make their voices better. And it was so horrible that the record producer like ran screaming from the house. So, you know, you say Addams Family musical and that's what goes in my head. So
not quite.
Thank
that.
You for that explanation.
I'm just saying.
Where you're coming from. I'm like, how do you... Because I remember that one episode. And they went into a good thing. Go ahead. Talk about that.
Well, yeah, so the original Broadway show had Nathan Lane playing Gomez, so a lot of the music...
Horrible singer.
I know.
Horrible.
Oh, my God.
They got who they could get, you know? But the music is very, like, old-style Broadway is how I like to describe it. It's sort of vaudeville-y and jazzy and just makes you want to, like, wiggle your hands and move your shoulders around,
cool.
Which
jazz
is really
so
fun. Right. Yeah. There is a kick line,
yes.
So that's really fun.
Oh, please tell me Lurch is in the kick line, because that would be amazing.
I don't think he is.
But he's doing his own thing in that, which is pretty funny.
Okay.
Yeah, the Lurch choreography is pretty spectacular, I have to say. But yeah, so it's really good. That's why I like it. I came from a very different place to Addams Family than Noel. I have still never even seen a complete episode of the TV
really?
Show.
Really?
No, you're going to let me chime in on this. When we started the show, after auditions, I was like, well, oh, this is like in the movie. When this happens, and Miranda goes, I haven't seen the movie. And I went, what? And so... We got a six-pack of beer, and I said, come over. And we watched the movie.
Yeah, which was awesome.
What about M's Family Values? Because I like that one, too. Not the sequel?
I still haven't seen that
not
one.
The sequel?
I've only seen the first one.
In Addams Family Values, it's much more focused on Wednesday than the first one is. And the musical itself, this one is focused a little more on Wednesday. Well, I would say just as much as Morticia. So we both watched them, and the idea was... Well, I watched them. I don't know what you were doing. And then, so I would just pull ideas from it, like common things people are going to want to see.
Yeah.
So can I talk about that for a moment?
Talk about what?
Addams Family, musical, focus on Wednesday... and throw at you potentially the only hard question of the whole interview, which is this.
I'm nervous.
I haven't seen the musical. I've got the soundtrack. I've had the soundtrack for years. Listened to it, read synopses of the plot, of course. And it seems so one of the strengths of certainly the movies, Christina Ricci's version of Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
So beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And also so iconic to overuse that word,
yeah.
So iconic for little girls and really anyone who felt
in the 90s
out,
who felt other, yeah.
It seems to me, listening to the soundtrack and reading the synopses, that what they do in the musical is really, for me in my heart, kill the character of Wednesday Addams. They turn her, it seems, into a really, really sort of floppy, normal teenage girl, and you
who's got a kooky family,
and you—it's almost as if they turn her into the daughter in the Munsters.
Right. Who's yes.
Bring it down.
Yeah.
Your thoughts.
I will. No, absolutely. Because no, I struggled with that too. Because especially when we started getting our actors up on stage, and I was watching, and I was like, ah, this isn't that exact Wednesday you expect. And that was a side note, real quick. Munsters, Elvira, we did everything we could to avoid that and focus on, because it's easy to bleed into others.
Yeah.
Here's the issue, and then my thought exactly with that, Clinton. It's where we pick up in this story where Wednesday's having some struggles. In fact, that's the entire theme of the show is family. And like, if you want, you know, if you're going to choose, you know, because I mean, a quick plot summary here. She finds a boy she likes, but the boy is normal, whatever that is, which
whatever
is, again, a
is.
Theme of the story. It's like, what is normal?
Yeah.
And so the idea that, are you going to leave? Is she going to branch out and leave, potentially leave this family and, you know, be with this boy? And what does that mean? What does that look like? And in fact, she has an entire song where she's talking about, I don't know if I want to do this. And so I agree with you in that you're not getting that, you know, straight faced, super witty Wednesday the whole time, but she's in major conflict 90% of the show. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think very much in the beginning, she's got a whole song about torturing Pugsley, in which you watch Pugsley be tortured.
Well,
so,
it's the brother. Of course she tortured the brother.
Right.
That's normal.
But I agree with you a lot. I agree with you a lot. It is not as iconic on that one as you're going to expect, but it's in there.
And one thing, too, that I think is cool to note is that the only person that's asking Wednesday to change is Wednesday. And so that is really relatable for girls as well. Is like, it's not other people telling her, oh, your family isn't normal and this family is normal. She's trying to figure that out for herself. So that's really cool and definitely relatable for girls to see and be able to kind of tease that out.
We're going to talk about this a lot more later because...
You had a little crush on Wednesday, didn't you?
I had a crush on Christina Ricci, like the entire American population in 1992 through 1999. Black Snake Moan? I mean, come on. We're going to be right back talking to Noah Bastian, Miranda Hogan, Adam's Family. This is Homegrown. Drop! 18 minutes past the hour, if you're just tuning in. This is Homegrown, 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. DVS, Leslie, Clinton, we're here with Noel Bastian, Miranda Hogan, director and stage manager of the Addams Family, July 28th through August 13th, Four County Players. Now,
here we go.
Uh-oh.
I have been grown to be a hopeless romantic. And I
like that wording. You've been grown to
wish for the love that Morticia and Gomez have for each other.
Well, yeah,
don't we all?
It's incredible to see a couple like that share the amour.
That
they have for each other.
They truly like each other. Like that's what's different.
Portrayed it in the movies.
Well, I mean, but they truly like each other
as well. But yeah, they truly enjoy each other. They meld with each other. They have similar.
They truly enjoy every facet of their partner's personality. Yeah. Like even
the toenails,
when more like when
the ashiness.
Well,
like
when
all of that, when the dandruff.
When Gomez goes a little too far, you know, she reels him in. She's like, "But you're so cute." You know, it's not I'm mad at you. It's that, all right, you're going a little far. Bring it back.
But I bring that up because that's the most memorable aspect I have about the Addams Family and just the overall love that they have for each other. They don't, I mean, they torture each other and they beat each other and they zap each other with sticks, but I honestly feel like a complete camaraderie within that family. And it's like us.
Also, I want her garden.
Against, not necessarily against them, but our viewpoints over their viewpoints, regardless of what they think. Damn what everybody else thinks. We gonna do what we do. And and the question is,
he's doing a great job.
How did you transfer that to the stage? I think is the question David wanted to ask.
I have long lead-ins. I'm the Rachel Maddow of.
He asked six questions and then says go.
Standpoint, and then, but at some point I get there. At some point I get to what I'm talking about.
So
So first of all, it's someone else's script. So they wrote it. We make it happen.
Right.
But you're right. You're absolutely right. And again, that's a huge theme of the show. Is they take all these stereotypes that we expect from the Addams Family. That love Morticia and Gomez have, which is very, very massive part of the show. And we kind of throw it into turmoil and say, what happens when one person makes a bad choice? I mean, I'm trying to give too much away here. One person makes a bad choice. Well, now what happens with that love?
Right.
You know, how does it work? And then how does it affect Morticia? How does it affect Gomez? Do they both react differently?
Yeah.
And then you got to see how that plays out.
Huh.
It's Ooh. Interesting. It's not. It's not. It's not a storyline.
I've already got my tickets. I'm there opening night. I don't know about y'all.
Yeah, it's definitely different than what you're expecting, probably.
Right on. But talk about more about that, like family and togetherness and all of that, and how it bleeds into the show, and how you guys have seen the Addams Family or not seen the Addams Family, and kind of infuse your own idea of what that means to y'all.
Yeah, sure. You want that one? You want me to do this one? I don't want to talk. Miranda is the greatest stage manager and maybe one of my best friends I've ever had. So I really would like her to talk more.
Thank you for that lovely and not at all over the top introduction. I think one of the things that speaking to the iconic and sort of essential element of family, in one of our first meetings, we really talked about, you know, Morticia doesn't look like a mom, but she is a mom. This family doesn't look like a family, but they are a family, and that's essential to who they are. And they don't care what other people think, and they aren't going to let other people tell them, no, this is wrong, or your way of life is wrong, or your way of showing love is wrong. And that's really cool, and that comes into play a lot. And actually, the whole ensemble in the show is additional family members. It's sort of the ghostly ancestors. So everyone in the show is part of a family and are trying to be part of the family because Wednesday is trying to bring her boyfriend into the family. So it just bleeds through every element of the show. And then what happens when a family that's this strong and this close-knit sort of comes in turmoil, like Noel was saying, like what happens when Gomez and Morticia come against something that fundamentally challenges their wedding vows that get factored into the script.
Yeah, and I just thought about something now. Do you think you brought the show into light because of like shows like Modern Family and This Is Us and things like things that bleed into the normalcy within the lack of normalcy for lack of better words? Do you understand the question that I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you want to know how they're redefining normal?
Yeah.
Well, if anything, I mean, the show is a couple years old. It's not new. In fact, I would probably say it's older than all of the TV shows you just mentioned. But I feel like because of kind of resurgence in this thought, a show like Addams Family is going to be very contemporary in kind of the ideas that's going on around.
Right.
Well, certainly, I mean, certainly the Addams Family musical clearly takes... Clearly is done in the context that we find ourselves in today when the country is forcing itself and is being forced by seeing things that they aren't used to looking at, to redefining the question of family. I mean, America's like a family-gasm. That is to say, it's part of the American myth. We put so much emphasis on family in our media, in our narratives, again and again and again and again, and we have for decades. And now it seems like the Addams Family is definitely part of this whole thing, don't you think? Mm-hmm. Of reexamining what family is.
That was the question I wanted to ask. All that.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. And I feel like there's an entire song where, you know, Wednesday goes to her family and says, I just want, and the song's called One Normal Night. I just want one normal night where I don't want you to be this. And so, but that's where a lot of the conflict comes from, is like, do you want to do something your daughter is asking of you, or do you need to stick to your own, you know, what your own guns, what you believe, you know, that kind of thing. So it raises some pretty tough issues in that.
Wow. Okay, so I can't wait to see this.
So, Four County just did Charlie Brown Christmas, doing Addams Family now. Can you talk about what the challenges are for doing, for like, how do you approach something that is so iconic? How do you draw the distinction between giving people what they expect and what they want and showing them something new? Because I can see you going, you know, too far in either way. I mean, I remember talking to one director that I was working for, where he would go so much in terms of showing people what they expected, and I would say, well, don't you want to do something? He's like, hey, no, man, they're paying money to see this. I am giving them this. That's my job.
Yeah.
I'm like, Yeah, well, and
yes and no.
As much as I didn't agree with him, I didn't necessarily not respect him. So, what do you think?
So, I actually worked on Charlie Brown at Four County as well. I was the stage manager and had a small cameo role, mostly because I needed to be on stage to move set pieces. So, I was not Pigpen. I was one of the twins, and I totally get what you're saying about balancing that, like what people expect versus trying to put our version on stage. And I think we really benefit from the script and the material that we're given to work with. Charlie Brown, the script was the Christmas special that was on TV. It was the exact same, even the stage directions were the exact same thing. This is something completely different. This is a whole new work, and the only thing that's the same are the characters' names, and then people are going to come in with their expectations, of course, which we're excited about. But like Noel said, you know, there's things where we said, okay, this is essential, we're definitely going to have this, but we're also going to kind of put our little flavor into it as well. So we are going to have Morticia's wonderful sexy dress, but it's also going to have a little something extra to it, and there's, you know, a little bit more that gets revealed. We still have the big, beautiful mansion house, but it's our version of it. And so it's got those same structural things that you expect, the same foundation, but it's not a repeat of the movie. It's not the same script. It's not an episode of the TV show. It's the musical, and it's our version of the musical. So we have a lot of room to play.
I really enjoy especially when we're seeing something that's so in the zeitgeist and so familiar to us, when someone does put a new spin on it. Like, I'm comforted by seeing the things that I'm familiar with, but I find it exciting to see what somebody puts their spin on it, when somebody does something a little new and a little different to it. So this sounds awesome.
Softball question. Can you talk about color? Because I, you know, when I think of Adam's family, I think of like blacks and purples and deep blues. Talk about color. Talk about the infusion of maybe more or less color.
Yeah, sure. So one of the big things is, and again, I'm trying to watch spoilers here because I want you to come see my show, our show. And
no, we're trying to get people to see the show. I want to know what happens to break up Morticia Gomez. You
should. It's the struggle for spoilers here. On Homegrown.
Right in the wire.
So you're right. There are certain expectations. I expect Pugsley to have that black and white striped shirt. You know, I expect most of their colors to be in very blacks or grays or things like that. What's nice is, like Miranda was saying earlier, our ensemble is ghosts. And again, I'm not giving anything away, but each ghost has their own spot in history through the Addams family.
Okay.
All the way back to the beginnings of time, all the way up to maybe a couple of years ago. And so each ghost kind of has a toned down, much toned down version of their whatever they died in. And so, and then we've got special lighting on the stage to make them look illuminated like ghosts.
Otherworldly.
Yeah, very good. We've got that kind of stuff. But again, we do keep that iconic colors. I mean, I've got a picture of Morticia's dress on my phone that I'm not going to show you. And it is very much what you expect, but we did put a little twist on it to kind of give you our own spin on it. And another part of it is there's the other family that that Wednesday's boyfriend's family is a big part of the show too, but they're supposed to represent this straightforward, normal people family, you know, that nuclear family.
Exactly.
And they've got their own color scheme too. And we actually do this whole thing in the show. We bleed their color into the Addams family as the show is going on. It's almost like an infection. And there's even lines about, oh, there's that color again. Like, it's cool.
Nice. Very, very cool.
So, speaking about color.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to break my promise and give you a second hard question. So, you're doing the Addams Family musical. You're about to go into casting. Do you think to yourself, okay, original show is in black and white, but really it's going to be white. I mean, going into casting, did you think to yourselves, okay, we can't have any Asians, any blacks, any Southeast Asians? What was your approach?
No. You want me to just... All right.
And would they say that?
Yeah. So, we sat down and we were like, nope, out with you. No, absolutely not. One thing I've always done in my years and years as a director here is talent. If you've got the talent, I don't care. If you've got the voice, if you've got what we're looking for. And so a lot of times casting comes down to height. I mean, you need to look a part. not a part, but you need to look the part as much as your abilities are. And so, no, absolutely not.
Right. Especially in like Gomez and Morticia. Was that one of the things that you like had to have?
Well, so we thought about it. And dude, some of it does come down to casting limitations. Because, you know, okay, ready. Who's taller?
Morticia.
Morticia.
Go watch a movie.
Oh, really?
The movie.
They're
actually a lot
closer than you think.
Is Raul Julia taller?
They're a lot closer than you realize.
Yeah. I was going to say, am I counting the hair? Like,
right.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Get your ruler out.
Specifics. Semantics, really.
But they, that was something at first, me too. I was like, oh, well, Morticia's way taller, right? Yeah, she's really not that much taller. But a lot of it, though, comes down to casting. You know, if I don't get a 6'3" girl to come out, there's not much I can do.
Really tall heels.
That's what I say. With our lurch too, I was like, what can you do here? Can you give me like 3-inch heels here? And he was like,
how are you
in
parades?
Stilts. We're going to do stilts.
Ultimately, Clinton, answer your question, absolutely not. If you got the talent and you've got the work ethic, that's another thing too, and the conflicts, you're going to be in this show.
That's good to hear, because that is not necessarily the mythos of all theaters or all directors, especially in this area. So,
well, we've always said that theater is the one place that you can racially profile and get away with it.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah.
Actually. Well, I think another hard thing too is when people hear, oh, they're doing Addams Family, and they say, oh, well, I don't look like that, so I'm not going to come out. And I know, I mean, I've done a ton of stuff at Four County. It's entirely based on who shows up. Show up. If you're an actor and you have the talent, or you think you have the talent, you just want to go for it, show up, because I can guarantee you, we just want the best. We want our show to be the best, and whoever is going to make it the best, great, you're in. We're going to work with you.
All right. So talk about July 28th. You guys ready? Still sweating in your pants? I mean,
we're getting there.
Yeah, you got Tech Week coming up, right?
Next week.
That's always fun.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we got this in before Tech Week.
See, you're smarter than the average bear.
Next Sunday.
So sometimes we ask, what do people want their audience to take away from their art? I'm going to ask a different question. What do you want people to bring in with them when they come to see Addams Family the Musical?
Hmm.
Oh, that's a tough one. What do you want to bring with you? I almost, at first, Clinton, when you asked, I immediately jumped to like, bring your expectations and then watch us dash them. But I don't want you to get the impression that we're going that far away from what it is.
Expectation suplex.
Exactly.
Boom.
People's elbow. But because we do walk that line. We're giving you a lot of what you expect, but we're putting our own twist on a lot of it too. I expect you to walk in, just to come in and have a good time. It's a really, really fun and ridiculously funny show. Mm-hmm. And we've added all kinds of great sight gags and stuff like that. And the cast is beyond phenomenal. I don't know if most people know this. This is the first time I've ever directed a show with 21 people in it. It is difficult to get everybody.
Herding cats is fun, isn't it?
And I'm trying to get everyone their own little moment here and there, and it's tough to do. Mm-hmm. But the whole cast is just phenomenal. It's a visual, with the way we can do the lights and stuff visually, it's like you're never going to see anything like this. So I'm not just like blowing smoke here.
No.
It's really awesome. It is really, come see it. Miranda, anything?
Yeah, I was just going to say, bring your open mind, because we will be kind of dashing your expectations a little bit. But there are so many little moments. There's a lot happening on stage. There's 2 or 3 times when all 21 people are on stage at the same time. So watch everyone. Everyone's got their own thing going on. It's really fun.
Cool.
And can I say, for Four County, except you know, like putting UVA aside, because they got money and they got people that no one else does. But in terms of local theater, Four County, at least for me, has really been killing it in terms of spectacle.
Yeah.
And you walk in. I mean, I know I've worked with you guys. I know what Four County's like. I know. Mm-hmm. I know the money that isn't there, and yet you walk into the show in this really small theater, and it's like, boom! You guys have for the past couple of years been killing it in terms of sets, in terms of lights, in terms of costumes. How do you do that?
I mean, Clinton, don't just say you guys, because you are part of that. I watched you knock a house down 9 times in a row with your speech there and Mackers. So don't. It's us. It's all of us. It's the people. You know, they're some of the best people I've ever met in my life. And they work so hard with what we've got just because they really care. They care about the people. They care about everyone around. They just want to do a good job. Mm-hmm. And so it's that love of all this just comes through.
Cool. Yeah, I've worked at Four County too. They're great people. Four
they
County
are.
Players putting on the Addams Family Musical, going off July 28th and playing through August 13th. Noel Bastion, Miranda Hogan, they're going off to their commercial shoots and
right.
To pilfer more fashionable goods. For us normal looking people.
So what, like cologne or underwear? Which one are you guys doing today?
Back swimwear. To sleep.
Yeah. Back to sleep because attractive people need a lot of sleep. So, yeah, thank you guys so
thanks,
much
guys.
For coming
thank
out.
You.
And I can't wait to see the show. Adam's Family. Da 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 da. All right. And are we going to do a drop?
No, we're going to go do what's coming up next.
What's coming up next? I'm going to get this right at some point.
At some point, David will learn what how the show goes.
I've only
goes.
Been doing it for half a year. Here are just some of the artistic events happening this week. Addams Family. And now through August 27th, the Mysteries That Remain, the first museum survey of the work of acclaimed Australian Indigenous artist Mick Namarami Jabaljari at the Kluge Room Aboriginal Art Collection. And now through November 26th, the American Shakespeare Center's summer / fall season featuring Much Ado About Nothing, Love's Labor Lost, Henry VI, Part 3 by Shakespeare, in the modern musical Peter and the Starcatcher, all at the Blackfriars Playhouse in Stanton. Currently running now through July 19th, Giuseppe Verdi's Rigoletto by the Charlottesville Opera.
Rigoletto! You gotta roll the R. Rigoletto!
I can't roll nothing right now. It's all this yuck.
I'm not.
Coffee,
I'm not.
The sugar, and my tongue.
I'm refraining
comment. Charlottesville Opera at the Paramount Theater now through July 19th. Rigoletto. I will get it right. Currently running. Running. July 20th. A Live Arts Scene Theater Company version of Bibbin at Live Arts Theater. And tonight, Guerrilla Theater Productions had an evening of revelry, dancing, face painting, refreshments, and live entertainment at the Midsummer Night's Mask, a benefit event for Guerrilla Theater. What is that benefit? Benefit.
What is the benefit? Benefit? Really?
I couldn't tell.
Jesus Christ. July 18th, the Freeland Arts Museum offers Babes in Artland for adult caregivers of infants 18 months and younger. Bring your baby to fellow... Bring your baby to join fellow parents for lively conversations about works of art. I can't wait to hear that conversation between babies about works of art. July 20th is an Eyes on Art tour that engages people with Alzheimer's disease and meaningful discussions about art at UVA's Freeland Art Museum. July 20th, Big Blue Door Improv Night at Tivo Coffee. Also July 20th is Ante Up Comedy, hosted by Chris Allen and Winston Hodges at the Ante Room. July 22nd through July 29th, five actors play 40 characters, holy crap, and Ken Ludwig's Baskerville, a Sherlock Holmes mystery in UVA's Ruth Kaplan Theater in their Heritage Summer Theater Festival. Shut up, I'm not done yet. July 27th through August 2nd, calendar The Girls at Oak Grove Theater in Verona, VA, July 28th through August 13th, the Addams Family, da-da-da-da. A new musical at Four County Players and for your music options this week.
Oh, this afternoon, Lynchburg's Marie Anderson delivers a range of covers from Rihanna to Johnny Cash. I'm sorry, I'm just... From Rihanna to Johnny Cash.
All right, take two.
Because both can make you hurt. S&M and hurt.
Oh! That was nice. Bow. 2 p.m. at Waynesboro's Heritage on Main, which has lovely paninis, by the way. You might want to get that. Tonight, Travis Elliott at Rapture. Tomorrow, ATM Unit with Jonah Kane West at Rapture. July 18th, Front Porch Roots Music School hosts a sunset concert at James Monroe Highland with folk musician Lua. Influenced Mexican, Appalachian, Jewish, and Scotch-Irish roots. Okay. Sorry, there are a lot of things making me pause, you know, things that make me say, today. Okay. The Municipal Band of Charlottesville plays the Paramount Theater, Goth Night with local trip rock band Phoenix Noir at Southern Cafe and Music Hall, Travis Elliott at Fellini's, Mojo Pie at Shabin Pub and Bry, the George Taylor Group at Heritage on Main, open mic night at Holly's Deli and Pub. Will Leggett, July 20th, on the Weed Eaters, gathers from some friends and plays the Whiskey Jar. Skip Haga at Dirty Nelly's, the Michael Ellswick Gathering, and Nick and Stephen Pollock at Bellini's. The 21st, the Working Effective at Glasshouse Winery, Reggae Dance Party with Positive Collective, Blue Ridge Irish Music School Traditional Ensemble at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub, Shannon Branch at Will Wine Cafe, DJ Tulo at Tavern on the James, Terry Allen Trio at Jefferson Vineyards, the Jason Burke Band at Batesville Market. Hey, Jason! Rattleback at Wild Wolf Brewery, Doss Homage at Dirty Nelly's, every Monday, Seafoot, the weekly open jam at Thomas Jefferson Memorial Unitarian Church, every Tuesday, the traditional Irish session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub, every Wednesday, open mic night at the Proray Not a Farm Brewery, every Wednesday, Jazz Collective Number 9 at Feliz Number 9, every Wednesday, the Mike Rosinski Stan Jeff Jugger Quartet at Miller's, and every Thursday,
John Durf
at Miller's.
All right. Those are your music options this week. Those are your arts options this week. If you have anything that you're doing and is autistic or musical in any way, shape, or
autistic
form.
Autistic or artistic?
Artistic.
Okay.
Jesus.
They're both color or spectrum.
Yes, and you want to promote it, you want to talk about it. Homegrown. Now you, what's the address? Jesus Christ. Homegrown Sivo? What is it?
I thought you...
Homegrown947@gmail.com.
This is first day.
I think. Are you sure that's only coffee in your cup?
This is Homegrown. Drop.
This is Graham Slayton, and you're listening to Homegrown.
God. Stay tuned.
Oh, go ahead. Stay tuned. I did the drop. For the Sunday morning. Well, I didn't hear the drop. I don't have headphones like cool people. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
If you're just tuning in, I'm having a mental breakdown.
David's having a moment.
This is Homegrown.
He's feeling some kind of way.
42 minutes past the hour. This is Homegrown 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville, WPBC. Stay tuned after the show for the Sunday morning wake up call with your host, Rick Moe. The guest is Dr. Philip Potter, director of UVA's National Security Policy Center. He's talking about Russia, China, North Korea, you know, the friendly
those
folks.
Yes.
And how foreign policy can be a president's refuge or distraction when domestic ambitions are stifled.
Wow. That's
deep.
That's that's heavy.
Going on next.
Wow.
Right. I'm going to have to massage my temples. That
right?
One.
That kind of hurt to think about.
Speaking of massaging temples, I'm going to have to protect my brain. Cause,
are you?
Yeah, because we got a mentalist in the room, apparently. They can read minds and stuff.
It's on the poster. It doesn't mean it's true. But, I mean.
Oh.
Yeah, so you can put anything on a poster. I mean, I am.
So it's false advertising, is what you're saying.
I mean, just like the, you know, yeah, a little bit. I mean, I'm a mind reader.
All right, so we got mentalist Sean Mason in the house. He says he's a mind reader.
All right, read David's mind right now.
Yeah, what am I thinking?
You're thinking
actually, no, don't. All right, don't. All right. Don't say that out loud.
Wait a minute. Cleanse the thought. Cleanse the thought.
Now
send the thought. What do we got?
Denying the next thing I say, you're thinking. It's a joke more. It's not really a. I'm not good at this. All right.
I'm glad you know your limitations, there, Sean.
No. I mean that's not my original job. It's just, you know, you gotta.
Oh, what was your original job?
It's mostly redacted.
Stricken from the record?
Redacted?
Yeah, it's redacted that way where, let's just say that.
Did you work for CIA?
Like, you were one of the men trying to kill goats with their mind, weren't you?
I mean, we were successful, but that's neither here nor there. I mean, kill one goat, you know, it's not really a big deal. But mostly, I mean, I was, let's just say I worked very close with a lot of people for the last 150 years, so.
150? How old are you?
I mean, I don't know. Take a guess.
I guess after 100, you lose count.
Yeah, it's really like it was really. I mean, I have anymore. A definite
you're just
age.
You're old at that point.
I mean, old. Yeah,
man.
But see, it's like don't I travel through me. Time, so you never really know what happens.
Okay,
but,
so you're just like jumbled up.
Yeah, it's like.
Whoa! We need to back up a second.
Huh?
Pause. Rewind. You travel through time?
Yeah, talk about that time machine thing.
Well, what is that?
Is that like an app on your phone? Like, what?
If it is, can I get it? Yeah. I got some stuff to correct.
I travel.
I'm just saying.
I mean, it's government contract-based time work. It's simple stuff.
Are you allowed to talk about this stuff on the air?
I mean, no, but... I mean, what we got? Well, five people listening? I don't know.
Okay, so we're not... Are we going to, like, expect riot gear again? People coming? What is...
All right, Sean, so just entertain my curiosity. What are you doing here? What do you do? What do you do now? You ain't got no job, so...
Yeah, this is my last...
You read minds? Do you get paid on reading
minds?
Do you read money out of people's minds? Do you read bank account statements? Like, what do you do? What do you do?
I do read minds. It's an hypnosis. Just general things you learn when you've been a student of the School of Americas. Dictatorship program, but it was a lot.
It's the number one global program.
Yes,
American dictatorship. I mean,
it's like
the Harvard of
does have a lot of graduates, doesn't it?
Yeah. So talk about that. How do you become a mentalist? How do you learn to read minds?
No friends, and then try to make them.
Well, friends hate when you tell them what's on their mind.
Yeah, that's
even more than when you tell them what's on your mind.
Yeah, yes, that's
cheating,
I mean, I think it makes arguments faster. To be honest, like if you're fight, I mean, I just think it makes
and
it faster.
Possibly relationships a lot quicker.
yes, a lot quicker.
Yeah,
a lot quicker.
Yeah,
but yes.
Wow, is your first date with somebody like 5 seconds?
Hey, I'm a mentalist, and my relationships end pretty quickly. So yeah. don't put that
I don't think that's why your back relationships
from the show.
So
that
show
on the
29th. Tonight.
Yes.
Well,
oh, tonight as well. Yes.
Oh my God. Who is your agent? All right. So we have a show tonight at the Gorilla Theater with Reverie and face painting. Hopefully, you'll get your face painted. You'll get that.
Oh, definitely. Too.
And then
I'm looking for a tiger.
Well, you'll need to hide from the guys who are coming because you just like spilled like redacted information over the airwaves.
And
so.
Also, you got a show coming up on July 29th. So talk about that. Talk about what we'll see when we see Sean Mason in action.
So it's some mind reading, some hypnosis, some mind control. Just a couple of neat things I've learned over the last couple of years. So I like to share because, you know, at this point, I really don't, I'm not able to go back to where I was from. So I personally believe that, you know, this is for the people. All right. They should know how Nike gets them to buy those $200 shoes. You know, like that's the kind of stuff I think.
Well, they make you jump higher.
Yeah, that's definitely what you should believe and continue believing that.
No.
Right?
No. No, boo. They don't.
No. They don't.
No.
Make you
no.
Jump higher?
They don't. No, babe. No.
That technology was made legal years ago. But yeah, it's just a show about basically.
They treat their workers well, so.
Right, and the sweat. Okay, yeah. All right.
All right, so.
I just can't.
So who is my agent? All right.
Yes, who is your agent? So basically, like you're gonna make people. You're gonna be like those Vegas acts that make people think they're chickens and walk around on stage.
No. So I have a thing against all that stuff because, to be honest, all that kind of stuff is really it's a kind of a wink, wink, nudge, nudge, play along kind of thing. And I'm not really about that. I'm more about the formal art of hypnosis, mesmerism, as we call it during the day, where it was a little more. There's less people on stage, probably no more than two or three people, and it really focuses on, you know, making an experience. And making it feel, in a way, hypnosis is kind of real and fake. It's a state of mind that I can help you reach. It's like meditation. Like someone can help you reach meditation and that nice core, but you can't really put you there. So it's mostly an entertaining form of,
hypnosis.
It's more of a it's a little more about. I like to go through like a. Why we see ghosts and things like that. I believe there's a lot of science, a lot of very strong science that makes us believe that things are in the room, that we're being touched, that we're hearing things, and I like to explore that a little bit with a couple of experiments.
All right. Well, we're going to get to those experiments in just a moment. We're going to pay a little bills, do some homework. This is Homegrown. Drop! It is 51 minutes past the hour if you're just tuning in. This is Homegrown, 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville, DBS, Leslie Clinton. We are here. Stay tuned after the show for the Sunday morning wake-up call with your host, Rick Moore. His guest is Dr. Philip Potter, of director of UVA's National Security Policy Center. He's talking about Russia, China, North Korea, and how the foreign policy can be a president's refuge or distraction when domestic ambitions are stifled. Again, this is Homegrown. Sean Mason in the house. Mentalist, mind reader, unemployed.
Same thing, yep.
So you're going to do a reading for me?
Kind of.
We'll do a reading. We'll do a reading.
Okay.
We'll do something.
You give me money? Wait a minute. You're unemployed. You ain't got no money.
I ain't got no money. I used to have money. I mean, this is my last good suit and clean pair of underwear. That's why it's so wrinkled. I woke up in this.
Okay, we didn't need to know about the underwear part. Just do the reading. Do the reading.
All right. Come on. Like I said, these are deck cards from my great grandmother. As you correctly, she read my mind earlier. It was crazy. It was in the commercial.
I got it.
Pay for premium access for all the. Anyway.
Mentalists helping mentalists.
This is basically very simple. This is a normal deck of playing cards I have in front of me. If you're listening on the radio, you have to just believe everything I'm saying. We'll try to make sure that everyone here plays along at least. Now, it's very simple. All I want you to do is just pick any random card, anyone you would like. And she know what it is. And actually,
I will show it to Facebook.
You can show it to Facebook. And just tell me to stop whenever you like.
Stop.
Put it back in the deck. And this is a very simple read. And you can shuffle that. And I'm going to try to do something.
He's going
to
try.
I'm going to try. Look at the cards, make sure there's nothing crazy in particular about the cards, as far as you know. That would make them look strange, nothing weird. They're just really old.
Yeah, so, they kind of smell like your grandma. Just saying. They smell like old people. Old people have a smell.
That's rude. let's just say I stole those cards from my grandmother one card at a time. But the point end of it, she was playing solitaire with two cards and none of her marbles. He got them jokes. It was well worth logging on
just
today.
That. Yep. Just that. That was good.
Here's another one for you. Until 1957, all the black cards had to stay to the back of the deck until Hanvey shuffle.
Okay.
With that, let's get back to what we're doing.
Okay.
All right. So, threesome's mind is a couple things you have to kind of do. One, make them comfortable with the idea. Are you comfortable with me reading your mind?
Sure.
Okay.
You may not be comfortable with what's in there, but sure.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I read his mind earlier. We watch a lot of the same internet videos. Anyway, if you could do something for me.
Oh, I know too much about both of you right now.
Anyway, you can put your hands up just like this for me. So, both hands are stretched. You have both fingers. You have all 10 fingers out. And what I'm going to try to do is I'm going to try to figure out the suit of your card. So it's going to take a little bit of reading what you do, but I don't want you to tell me out loud. I just want you to think it. Kind of like yell it in your head over and over and over again. So first, let's go with the color. So if it's a black card or red card. Black card or red card. Black card. Black card. Am I correct?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Cool. Let's try something else. Okay, let's see. So I have to guess if it's a face card or number card. Okay? Face card, number card. Face card, number card. Face card. Number card.
Yes.
Okay, good. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 6.
Yes.
Black six. So he has to be a spade or a club. A spade or a club. A spade or a club. Spade or a club. Spade. Say the word spade and then say the word club for me.
Spade, club.
Okay, see, he's a little bit on the spade. She said a little more confidence. It's the six of spades.
Correct? I just giggle when I hear the word spade sometimes.
What?
That's a six of traditionally marginalized. That's what we're calling that.
Amazing! How'd
you do that?
Real simple.
He read my facial expressions.
Yes. That's how we're going to say I did it. but... Yeah,
I'm not joking. He read my facial expressions. Everyone has micro expressions that
do. Little things that make everyone different. It's stuff like that, but a little more intense. Just your own things. It's the show's real fun. It's I like to take the concept of I once was told by a magician, if you're not a very good comedian, learn magic. Not a very good magician, learn comedy. And I was like, well, you know what? It can't hurt. So I tried to.
Wait. Magic or comedy can't hurt.
They both will help you out.
Okay. All right.
They both will help you out.
I understand. Yeah,
so it's 29th. It'll be fun. We have, as well, will be Jack Rakes. He's a musical comedian who will be hosting. And Eric Berenger, who is currently on tour with the devious one over here. We'll be doing a small little opening for the show. So I think it's going to be real fun. I enjoy performing. It's the only thing only time I feel like I'm normal. It's when I'm on stage in front of a whole bunch of people and they're paying attention to me. So that's the kind of thing.
I think I know a little bit more about you than I needed to. But
yes.
Cool.
Yes.
Cool.
All right. So Sean Mason will be assaulting minds at the Gorilla Theater July 16th and 29th. Sean Mason, thank you so much for coming.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Well, thank you so much. I'm just so happy to finally be doing press with a group of other people of color, because it doesn't happen as often as you think.
How about that?
It's lonely out there.
It really is. That is so real.
So we have a young Negro man. Right?
That was Birmingham Radio. That was a fun one.
Are we allowed to say that?
That was a good interview for
Birmingham Radio. Well, next up we got the win, sir?
This will be his last time on the show. Yeah. Right?
Got this, boy.
We'd like to thank our guests, Sean Mason, who we will miss very much. Also, Noah Bastian and Miranda Hogan. They're doing the Addams Family. Go see it. It's going to be a great show.
Sounds really
good. I got my tickets.
Coming up next is a Sunday morning wake-up call with your host, Rick Moore, Dr. Philip Potter, director of UVA's National Security Policy Center. Okay, Russia, China, North Korea, and North...
All that stuff.
Policy.
Yeah. Right.
B,
foreign policy.
A, president, refuge, or distraction when domestic ambitions...
Or he's breaking it down.
He is. Like,
you're slow jamming. You're slow jamming the...
Slow it down.
Underlined.
Underlined?
Italicized.
Ooh. Yeah.
Serious.
Politics.
Wake up call. Wake up, Charlottesville.
Okay.
You've been bamboozled.
Hey, David.
Hornswoggle. David. All right, we're David. Wrapping it up.
This wrap it up. Homegrown.
We
calm down.
Guys. We'll be back next week. Go to Baltimore and see my show, because I'll be there.
I mean, I love you, but I don't think I'm going to drive to Baltimore today.
I'm driving to Baltimore, like, right now. If y'all want to get in the car.
Safe drive.
It's only $10. Free gas. You know. All right. We love you guys. See you next week. Peace.
This has been Homegrown, your only show about local art, at least dedicated to local art. 94.7 WPVC, your host David Von Strong with Liam Scott Jones. Every Sunday at 10. We'll see you next week.
Listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.